So we're not really in a position to say the divine mind is related to the world as a human mind is related to a machine that it designs. At least that's the key argument in this text, right? That there's this analogy between divine design and human design is perilous, right? It can go both ways. It can be vitiated if it can be reinforced if the world turns out to be a machine that's not designed well, right? If it's like a ship rather than a watch, and a leaky ship at that. Well, suppose then, if we don't really know much about how designing works, right? Suppose then we don't know where order comes from, because order has to have a cause, but we don't know about the deep inner nature of causes, right? So why couldn't the order in the world come from within the world? For all we know, Hume suggests, the order in the world could come from within the world rather than from a divine designer outside of it, right? Perhaps it's not like a machine. Perhaps it's like a plant, an organism, right, which isn't created or designed by something outside of it, but which somehow organizes itself. Couldn't a plant, or couldn't the world be like a plant, the way, say, a plant grows from a seed and, as it were, organizes itself on the basis of its own internal principles? Couldn't the animating and organizing force be within the world? Couldn't it be something like a world soul, a life force that is within the world rather than a divine designer outside the world? So here we're making a transition from the divine mind of Plotinus to a world soul in a Plotinian terms. Why can't the organizing principle of the world be within the world? We don't know the deep inner nature of causality, so we can't exclude the possibility that the causal power which organizes the world is intrinsic to the world, is a life force within the world. So maybe there's this divine world soul which generates the world that way. Okay. We don't, after all, and here's a point that Hume makes through Philo, we don't, after all, know any more about the causal power of minds or souls than we do about the causal power of physical objects. So we have no compelling reason to suppose that the order in the physical world has to go back to a mind or a soul. Or maybe it's just, maybe it's a mind, maybe it's a soul. Maybe, and here's the last suggestion, maybe you don't even need a soul. Maybe you don't even need a world soul. Philo's suggestion is that maybe the material world could organize itself without an animating inner principle, maybe without a world soul. How do we know that it has to be a soul that organizes the material world? Couldn't the material world somehow organize itself by physical causes? Now, this suggestion must have seemed kind of crazy in Hume's time, or at least bold. But within a century, along comes Charles Darwin, and it suddenly begins to look much more plausible that the material world might organize itself, that species and forms of life might come about through a process that's purely physical, that isn't guided by a divine mind on the outside or an animating world soul on the inside. We don't know enough about causality, Hume suggests, to know which of these options is true, and therefore we cannot prove that one of these options is true. We cannot prove that there's a divine mind. We cannot prove that there's a world soul. We cannot prove that the material world organized itself. Therefore, we don't have a rational basis for a natural religion. All these options are possible. Hume doesn't show that there can't be a divine mind or a world soul. They're all possible options, but we don't have a rational demonstration that one option is definitely preferable to the others. We don't, therefore, have a basis for religion in reason. It's all, as Demia would say, just faith. And that's a conclusion that most philosophers of religion were very unhappy with. Hume was challenging the rational basis of religion, challenging a kind of synthesis between faith and reason people, even in the Enlightenment, still wanted to have. They didn't want faith to be pure faith out there, blind, a leap in the dark. There had to be more connection between faith and reason than what Hume was suggesting. At least that's what most philosophers of religion wanted. And Hume, therefore, posed as one of the deepest skeptical challenges to philosophy of religion in the Western tradition. We are still dealing with the results, and we'll come back to some of these arguments later.